Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. When I think about risks associated with summer, I think about getting a really bad sunburn, or blisters, maybe sharks and, unfortunately, violent crimes. But I have to say, umbrellas have never crossed my mind. That's until I heard this story while listening to the Dana and Parks show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City. I have to warn you, if you have kids with you or anyone sensitive, this upcoming description is quite graphic.
Story here from the New York Post. A female diner was killed in a freak accident.
Oh, we have to talk about this.
In front of her family.
Ugh.
When an umbrella flew through the air and severed the artery in her neck, according to authorities in South Carolina. Dana Weinger, 56 years old, was eating Saturday with her husband and other family members when she was killed at the Driftwood Grill home of Lazy Gator in Somerton, South Carolina. Quoting here from the coroner, it was a strong, strong wind like a microburst that came through and knocked... Not just the umbrella, it knocked all the furniture and other debris came onto where they were sitting.
I might want to bring this back a little later in the program, and here's why. While rare, I no longer trust those umbrellas. Not on a beach, not on a patio.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things, if you've ever worked in a restaurant atmosphere, one of the things most people don't realize is how extraordinarily heavy those umbrellas are. That being said, in high winds, this is not anywhere near the first time this has happened, Scott. It happens in restaurants. It happens on the beach. I don't know what the answer is, if there's even a slight chance for a gust of wind in the forecast. That's why you'll see signs at restaurants that say you must ask for staff assistance to raise the umbrella.
Right. I was at a rooftop bar over the weekend yesterday afternoon, and it was insanely windy. And I remember when I used to work at Panera, if the umbrellas were even moving slightly, like if there was enough wind to just kind of rotate them, we would go and take them down. And it was, I think, four umbrellas in a row, and we had the very last one, and they were swaying back and forth.
Yes.
I just stood up and held on to it because I was not about to die. But nobody came to take them down.
For fear that they would be lifted up and impale someone?
Yeah, I mean, those systems aren't perfect. They're held in there with a screw tight situation at the bottom, but the more they wiggle back and forth, that screw job that's holding it in gets looser and looser, and one upburst, and all of a sudden your artery has been impaled in your neck by a flying umbrella.
The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, because of this, now endorses a strict standard for these types of umbrellas, not only the manufacturing, but also the anchoring of this. If you look this up, Scott,
I'm not laughing.
There is some reporting that globally there's around 1 million injuries and deaths a year because of these things. It's prolific enough that when you look into it, the first things that start popping up are the lawyer websites.
For umbrella death.
Scott, or severe injuries.
You type in, can an umbrella? And the first thing Google brings up is, kill me.
And the answer is?
From the Herald, from the Herald Miami, and this is a few years ago, this common household item is killing millions of people. They are reporting 2 million deaths globally a year.
No way.
Scott, I swear to you.
No way.
I saw the number 2 million quite a while.
I bet.
Quite a bit.
And I couldn't help but notice when we were in Cancun in early April, you go to the pool and there are the umbrellas and they're all tied up and everything. If you even try to touch the umbrella, okay, to lift it up, to shade your little pool chairs, the staff will come running over.
We got it.
You are not allowed to touch the umbrellas yourself.
It says the most dangerous type is the type found at the beach because their size and screw-like bases meant to keep the umbrella upright in the sand become deadly weapons on a windy day.
According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, there are around 3,000 hospitalizations from umbrella accidents in the U.S. alone every year. To stay safe, people should keep large umbrellas closed when conditions are very windy and make sure they're secured safely if outside. Next, we're heading out of the U.S. and making our way to the Dead Sea, a landlocked salt lake between Jordan and Israel in the Middle East. In recent years, the Dead Sea has been getting drier and smaller. A decade ago, the BBC reported that it was already shrinking at an alarming rate. Just this week, CNN reported that it recedes about 4 feet every year. Here's the Adam and Jordana show out of Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities with more.
The lowest, David, what's the word I'm looking
it's
for?
The lowest point below sea level on the world.
Below sea level on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
On the 1,400 feet below sea level. So like a mountain.
Like down.
Inverted.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. It's one of the world's saltiest water bodies, 10 times saltier than the ocean. It makes the water there, if you've ever been, I've been many times to the Dead Sea, you can float in the water and you don't have to, not on top, you can sit in it basically, and you can read a newspaper with your hands and have your feet out of the water.
Yeah, because it's so salty,
it's so
that
dense.
You become buoyant.
That's right. It's so dense. It is really an extraordinary experience. And now I'm reading this morning that it's dying. The Dead Sea is shrinking. It's just drying up. And why? Well, human activities, climate change, they do take a heavy toll. But over the past 5 decades, its surface area has shrunk by roughly a third. And you can see sinkholes, you can see, you know, obviously like salt pits at the bottom of it. I don't know if we can bring it back. And I'm sure this has happened many times during the Earth's history, where you have bodies of water and then, of course, they dry up and they become something else. But every year it is shrinking. So I say this to you because I now am hearing about this for the first time. You should go and experience the Dead Sea, and you should float in the Dead Sea. There are plans to try to save it, but sometimes we don't care about the environment and they're not always great plans. It is kind of a treasure. Like, it's the only place like it in the world. You floated in the Dead Sea, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember what that was like?
I do. I just remember laying on my back. And like you said, you can have both of your feet and both your hands out of the water and your head, obviously,
yeah.
And you're not sinking. And it's a extraordinary feeling. And you can feel the water on your skin feels like distinctively different.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a extraordinary thing. Do you think, Jordana, that it should be saved? Because the things they would have to do to save it, I mean, a lot of the water in that area is used for irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
So that water could go there, but then you can't grow as many crops. And whatever else you do, I mean, the reality is the impacts of whatever you do to save a body of water like that also have other implications. So, like, how much should be put towards saving the Dead Sea?
That's such a good question. A lot of it is man-made, the problems that we're having.
Yeah.
You know, water that gets diverted to neighboring countries like Syria and Jordan and Israel, you know, to from the Jordan River. By the way, the Jordan River is its main tributary. And because the Jordan River now has to, you know, is drinking water for people and crops, you know, obviously it's not feeding the Dead Sea as much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those people need water at some point, but I don't know if it should be.
So you say it's unlike any other place on Earth, which is partially true. Mm-hmm. However, there is a place in California called the Salton Sea that I visited that has a not dissimilar history. The Salton Sea has actually like been a sea and then drained several times in the last 100 years. And for a while,
but it comes back.
Well, it comes back due to human intervention. Like, the Colorado River is diverted in so many different ways that it came back for a while, and it was actually built up, I think it was in the 70s, as like kind of this resort area, and people were like water skiing and hanging out there. But then it started to get saltier and saltier and saltier and shrink and shrink and shrink. And now if you go, that you can still visit the Salton Sea today, it's shrinking, you see the evidence of all of these resorts that used to be there that are just in decay. And it's just a place that's been forgotten. And people, like, it's no longer a place anyone lives or goes. And it's just a place that used to be this beautiful lake and has been abandoned. And is that what the Dead Sea is going to become?
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to The Bob Rose Show out of 97.3 The Sky in Gainesville, Tommy Tucker out of WWL in New Orleans, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, and The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities. You can find these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.